Geek Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. But hey, look. Another halfway point of another month, which overall shows how pointless and weird this time really is. Welcome to the 16th of August with the fine folks.
Happy birthday, Kev.
.com. Happy birthday, Kev. Maybe you'll show up for Jackbox or something. I don't know. It's crazy. Thanks to everyone who did show up to Jackbox.
He's
poker
a college
and
man now.
Right? He's got more important things to do than our nonsense. The folks bringing you the show today, well, the lady, you just have to understand her motivation. That's how you get things to work. That's the Flintsters.
Well, if it's part of a scientific experiment, I suppose it's all right.
I suppose.
For science.
Is. Hey there, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I fit in.
Yeah, I believe. What happened on this fine day there, yeah?
Well, let's take it back to 1858. Queen Victoria sends the first official telegraph message across the Atlantic Ocean from London to the United States, President James Buchanan in Washington, D.C.
1890, the United States Census Bureau announces the results from the latest census, which had been tabulated using the new mechanical punch card tabulator invented by Herman Hollerith. The machine is capable of processing roughly 10 times as much data as a human clerk.
Wow. 1898, the loop-de-loop roller coaster is patented by Edwin Prescott.
1930, the first color cartoon with sound, a short film called Fiddlesticks, created by Ub Iwerks, is released. It debuts the character Flip the Frog, who'll become a recurring character in MGM.
Oh, is that the one that's like, hello, my darling, hello, my baby?
No, that's Michigan J. Frog.
Michigan J. Frog.
And a Looney Tune.
1934, American explorer William Beebe descends 3,028 feet in his bathysphere into the ocean near Bermuda.
1935, at Funkastellung, which has to have great music. The Fernsehen Television Company demonstrates an apparatus for recording television images to film directly from a cathode ray tube.
1955, Fiat Motors places an order for the first private atomic reactor.
For a while, they're making the Batmobile. 1973, the San Diego Comic-Con International is held. It's the first time the event is officially called San Diego Comic-Con. Before that, it was the Golden State Comic-Con. And way early, and at one point, San Diego's West Coast Comic Convention. It's also the first Comic-Con to last 5 days or to feature a celebrity brunch.
Wow.
What celebrities do you think they ate?
Tasty ones. 1988, Sierra Entertainment releases the adventure game King's Quest IV, The Perils of Rosella, for personal computers running GSOS or MS-DOS. It's the first major graphical computer adventure game with a female protagonist. It's also the first commercial entertainment product to support sound cards and synthesizers.
1989, a solar flare causes a severe geomagnetic storm that affects microchips on Earth and brings trading on Toronto's stock market to a halt.
Grinding halt. In 2005, cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev breaks the world record for the most days spent in space during his stay aboard the International Space Station.
Take guesses as to how many days. 2006, Google establishes a free wireless network in the town surrounding its headquarters, Mountain View, California.
2007, Wired magazine breaks the news that Washington politicians have been discovered to be heavy editors of a free online encyclopedia, Wikipedia. A new tracing program dubbed WikiScanner found that computers inside the CIA and FBI offices have edited Wikipedia entries on topics, including the Guantanamo prison and the Iraq war.
Thanks for making it more clear. 2087, Pluto Nash's bar is blown up by the mysterious gangster Rex Carter after a failed takeover. Then Nash goes to investigate the source of the problem. Birthdays?
Cameron Monaghan is 28, from Shameless, Click, and Jerome on Gotham.
Kristen Milioti is 36, Wolf on Wall Street, Tracy on How I Met Your Mother.
Cam Gigadent is 39, from Twilight, Pandorum, and Easy A.
Angela Bassett is 63, Supernova, American Horror Story.
James Cameron is 67, from Piranha 2, Terminator, Aliens, and True Lies.
Reginald Vail Johnson is 69, Die Hard, Carl in Family Matters.
Leslie Ann Warren is 75 from Mission Impossible TV show, Clue, Desperate Housewives, and In Plain Sight.
Donnie Dunnigan is 87, Peter and Son of Frankenstein, and the voice of Young Bambi.
Oh. No longer with us, born in 1888, T.E. Lawrence, Welsh colonel and archaeologist, the Lawrence of Arabia, books and movies are based on him.
1892, Hal Foster, Canadian-American author and illustrator, created Prince Valiant.
1892, Otto Mesmer, American cartoonist and animator who co-created Felix the Cat.
1910, Mae Clark gets that grapefruit smash in The Public Enemy. That movie, hey,
oh, yeah. Born in 1927, Lois Nettleton, voice of Maleficent in House of Villains.
1930, Robert Culp, I Spy, greatest American hero, Everybody Loves Raymond.
And born in 1963, Christine Cavanaugh, voice of Babe, Gosselin in Darkwing Duck, Chucky in Rugrats, and Dexter in Dexter's Lab.
So many childhood.
Well, some of that might be on TV tonight. CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's Abishola, Young Sheldon, United States of Al, and an NCIS LA.
ABC, LA. Bachelor in Paradise, and then Joey Lawrence and Marcus Scribner on a new celebrity dating game.
Whoa.
Whoa.
NBC has semifinals 2 on a new American Ninja Warrior, and Tammy on Doug on a new The Wall.
Fox, a game show from hell on a new Hell's Kitchen and a new Housebroken and a new Duncanville's, all new.
Wow. The CW, Maria and Isabel go on a trip together seeking some answers. Kyle gets a message from his past. Michael makes a troubling discovery on a new Roswell. And then we get a new Republic of Sarah.
Freeform has Despicable Me followed by Despicable Me as well.
Oh, AMC The Rock.
The movie.
Okay. Right.
Bravo. David copes with an awkward situation after Malia, his supervisor on deck, turns him down.
Ooh.
Tensions arise between Malia and Captain Sandy on a new Below Deck Mediterranean.
FX has Spider-Man Homecoming.
FXX Simpsons Marathon, you got your grandpa versus sexual inadequacy.
Wow.
And Maggie Makes 3 and the incredibly funny Bart's Comet.
FXM, Now You See Me Too.
As well. BBC America, The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Sundance, Conan the Barbaria, the new one.
Oh. Sci-Fi Channel has your classic, really, they made this, five-headed shark attack.
TBS, when one of Roger's personas begins to run a solar company, Haley and Jeff decide to lend their aid on a new American Dad.
TNT, a young detective meets a girl who possesses strange powers, and they find themselves entangled in a dark conspiracy that can bring destruction down on the world as they build a team of saviors, including other misfits with special abilities. It's a new Titans. And, you know, Tim Drake's there now.
Wow. The Science Channel has Expedition Unknown Marathon.
But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A single mother begins dating a firefighter after moving into the suburbs to start a new life, but her fresh start is shattered when a neighborhood watchman becomes obsessed with protecting her and going so far as to create hazards himself. Andrea Bogart and Trevor St. John star in Seduced by My Neighbor. That seduces you?
What?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Kate's new study partner, Brady, is thinking about more than just French verbs. He may be an underclassman, but he definitely has some slick moves. Her parents really don't appreciate finding them home alone in a dark room together. Kate thinks he's a real Romeo, but Chad has shown this kid is nothing but a shark. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Unless you count a ridiculous amount of correct answers for where Chad and Abby were last week on the show Golden Boy, which has nothing to do with the Golden Girls, which is yet another strike against it. So, that leaves you a couple of weeks to get yourself ready for the prize. If you want to be up for this time, all you got to do is drop us a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, a voicemail, a text message. Just use the magical phone number of
510-GRD-CROW.
Did I mention that Mark is our guest Chad and Abby writer for this week? Huh? Good job, Mark.
Yay.
Am I evil? Yes, I am. Diamond Head's classic heavy metal anthem became Metallica's greatest cover and one of the most iconic songs in heavy metal history. And now it comes to life in Am I Evil, the graphic novel. Hey everyone, this is Jack Mangan of the Metal Hall of Fame, MetalAsylum.net, the Deadpan Podcast, and Spherical Tomy. Learn more at the Am I Evil graphic novel Facebook page and at www.amievil-graphicnovel.com.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
Okay, I admit, maybe I should start playing something else.
It's okay.
Fine, be that way. You don't understand.
Okay, give me your roll.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons, magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
And so many other things can you have when you play stuff from DriveThruRPG like...
Like an RPG of faster-than-light space travel, ship-to-ship combat, and daring survival against all odds. In Tachyon, the player or players take on the role of the crew of a spacefaring corvette in service to the United Federation, traveling from planet to planet and system to system to carry out the mission assigned to them and to endure the trials and tribulations that occur along the way. Engage enemy vessels, trade with fellow travelers, solve local system problems, and explore the charted galaxy at faster than the speed of light. That's Tachyon from Sad Fishy Games.
Throughout ancient history, there are those who overcame monumental challenges, faced unspeakable foes, and went on to become true legends in their field. In this manual, you'll find the equipment and abilities to allow your player to walk that same path. Magical and martial powers, unique items, Unique magic items of unequaled power and monsters to challenge even the mightiest of heroes. The relics and legends provided within aren't campaign world specific, so they're suitable for any setting you want to use them in. It's Saber RPG 2E Fantasy Legends from Dragonsbane Entertainment.
The sun is above all, and so are those that worship it. A paladin that has taken the oath of the sun has seen it for all its glory and risen above the common mortals to become something greater. The oath of the sun is about absolute power and the judgment of others with that power to uphold the tenets. Those that swear this oath are devoted to the gods of the sun and sunlight itself, often treating those with weakness to the sun with disdain, such as vampires or drow. Pay what you want for Oath of the Sun, paladin, subclass, an OGL 5e, from Micah Raymond.
The McGregor Clinic is deeply sick. Patients vanish into shady drug trials, scalpel-flinged monsters haunt nurses' dreams. A nightmare realm hides beneath the clinic's mirrors. Diagnose the clinic and purge its sickness. The game is about the ways the healthcare system fails those who need it most. You know, like that. And the importance of fighting back. Expose the clinic's crimes, bring down the doctors profiting off others' miseries, and delve into the clinic's shadow to purge the evil lurking there. Pay what you want for Kill or Cure, Void Heart Symphony Quick Start from UFO Press.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. The world of comics found some people who wanted to uproar when the long-rumored character development finally became canon, where Batman's sidekick, Robin the Boy Wonder, is bisexual.
Somewhere, Dr. Wortham's ghost is screaming, "See? See? Perversion!"
And he would be doubly wrong, because it is Tim Drake, the third DC Comics character to take the mantle of Batman's sidekick, who came to this realization in this past Tuesday's Batman Urban Legends number 6, the newest installment of DC Comics Batman Anthology series, when Tim asked another boy out on a date to try and understand his feelings. Tim! So stop posting pictures of Dick Grayson with your headline, silly people.
So many people stereotype what kind of people wear hot pants.
Tim Drake fans are expressing great joy at this development, having felt that DC was building towards this revelation for the character for some time now.
Well, it takes a while sometimes. I mean, hey, didn't you go trick-or-treating as Robin a few times?
Again, Grayson, my buddy called Bruce, and I wanted Dick. What's the big deal?
I'm freezing.
In addition to the milestone moment in Batman Urban Legends, Tim has joined the Titans live-action series played by Jay Lucurgio. So thanks for the inclusion, DC. Just don't have him say that infamous F Batman line. There's already too many "to the Batpole, Robin" jokes going around.
Boy Wonder. Well, other kind of cool Batman news. Danny DeVito, who played the Penguin in Batman Returns, will return to the character with a graphic novel.
Well, that's fair. I mean, Batman 89 has put Keaton back in his costume.
No, I mean The Gentleman of Crime is being written by DeVito in a comic book story about the villain for DC's upcoming Gotham City Villains Anniversary Giant Number 1 one-shot comic releasing this November.
Oh, so we'll finally get to see how Matthew Richardson became Ron Say and rose to glory as Mr. Bonnyface?
The story will celebrate the 80th anniversary of the Batman villain, who has had various interpretations over the years, from quacking fool to low-level crime, to elitist snob, savvy information dealer, and ruthless gangster.
Yeah, but we all know that the best one is where he faked his death, hired a kid to be Oswald Cobblepot, and actually rose to power as the Joker!
Well, DeVito's interpretation was one of the darker and more extreme interpretations, but the character died at the end of the film. Spoilers. It's from like a long time ago. So it's either a prequel or a whole different story involving the character and a potential different interpretation. One where we learn that the Penguin is a master of karate and friendship for everyone.
Right now, a technical preview is being held for the upcoming EA shooter Battlefield 2042. To be a part of this preview, players had to sign an NDA stating they won't share any details or videos of the test, but as you might expect, some folks aren't taking that seriously. EA says, "This is a mistake," and warns players that breaking this agreement may find themselves banned from playing 2042 when it actually releases later this year.
Oh, they're going to hire grandmas to follow people around being like, honey.
Not long after the technical preview went live for some players on PC, people began to upload and stream footage of the early 2042 build. EA began yanking those videos off the web as fast as they could.
Which will totally work, because nothing is forever on the internet.
Adam Freeman, lead community manager of EA Studios Europe, reminded folks that get access to the preview are under a strict NDA that forbids any video, screenshots, and streaming. And he explained that breaking that could result in strikes against channels. He ended the thread with a warning that breaking the rules could have long-term consequences.
Like saying you have to play Dungeon Keeper, Dead Space Ignition, or The Simpsons Tapped Out.
This does seem a bit harsh when compared to how Microsoft and 343 handled the Halo Infinite technical preview last month. Players who were involved in that test were freely allowed to stream footage of the game and share information about it, getting everybody all kind of sized. But it seems EA and DICE aren't keeping things as open with their tests. This could be also more of a scare tactic than a real plan.
Or a publicity stunt. Ah, I know what they could do. Threaten to make every level DLC!
Whatever. If you're currently testing Battlefield 2042 and want to play the full game when it launches on October 22nd, just don't stream it. Or they could make you have an always-on internet connection for every game you play from now on. Or make you work overtime playing a lesser game for pennants. Or you have to find your freedom for the whole damn thing in a loot box.
Yikes. Well, here's some cool news. You ready for this? Val Kilmer, which we all know from lots of fun movies, underwent a tracheotomy in 2014 as part of his treatment for throat cancer. And, you know, it totally messed up his voice. He couldn't really talk, sounded completely different from how he did before. Well, London-based firm Sonatic took Hollywood actor Val Kilmer's voice recordings from throughout his career, fed them into their AI, and created a lifelike yet artificial mock-up.
Do they really want to remake the 2008 Knight Rider that badly?
Well, film producers could potentially use the tool, described as Photoshop for voice, as voiceovers if they have a role in mind that would be suited for Kilmer's tones.
Hey, HBO Max, what about a Doc Holliday series leading to Tombstone?
I'd watch it. But after undergoing a tracheotomy as part of his treatment, his voice is unrecognizable. But thanks to the AI work, Kilmer himself is also able to use it in his personal life to help him communicate rather than rely on a voice box to speak.
But he was having fun pranking people with his Stephen Hawking, though.
Right. Or turd nuggets. For the project, Sonatic gathered audio recordings of the actor from his films, which were digitally cleaned to remove the background noise. Next, the experts generated transcripts from the audio before pairing the audio and text together in short chunks that could be fed into the AI during its training.
Kilmer had inspired them. They also believe you never quiet the love message. Never.
Well, Kilmer can also take part in TV or film productions that require voiceover or replacement dialogue that'll be created by Sonatic's easy-to-use computer app. He can license that audio to different productions and studios. Kilmer is so thrilled by Sonatic. He has stated they can be his vocalization anytime and his Huckleberry.
Twitter's Twitter verified account tweeted this past weekend that it was
what a sentence.
Right? That it was temporarily stopping its verification access rollout once more in order to make improvements to the application and review processes. Considering the recent incident in July when Twitter verified six fake accounts, including one of an adorable cat in a bucket that reportedly started sending out Korean language spam, its decision to pause the process again makes sense.
Well, in fairness, they made up a very believable story. They made up a very believable story that cat was related to Grumpy Cat.
We've temporarily hit pause on rolling out access to apply for verification so we can make improvements to the application and review process, the Twitter verified account said. For those who have been waiting, we know this may be disappointing. We want to get things right and appreciate your patience.
Oh, that must be why they haven't verified you yet.
Yeah. Must be. Now, look, this doesn't mean that Twitter won't verify your account if you've already submitted an application. Twitter Verified said it's working on reviewing all of the applications it had checked as fast as it could. In fact, not everyone on Twitter is able to request verification because the company has slowly been rolling out the access to the application.
No doubt, as they work on a premium feature.
No doubt. The news is no doubt frustrating and annoying for those who want a blue check mark. At this point, you probably have to be extremely lucky to put in an application at a time when things aren't going haywire in the verification department, which is not exactly an easy task. If you are not lucky, don't fret. Blue check marks may be coveted now, but who knows what will be hip in the future. Maybe there won't even be a Twitter. I mean, you know, you didn't get this from me, but I hear Tom has been plotting a coup. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works 96.3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And as always, leave us a note. Tell us what's going on in your world and whatnot. And, you know, ask us again how you can play poker the next time we play, because that'll be next month, and we want to see you there, because I need to take some money. Drop that note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, the voicemail, the text message. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
It's just that simple sometimes.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
Blah, 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 blah.
It seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
I think we need better packaging. We need a better way to show off our product. You wanted to talk to Mr. Crater. Well, here you are.
So I finally get to meet the great Rex Crater.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Mike Marucci? Yeah, Mike Marucci. Thought you were so damn smart, I figured you out. Should come over there and put my foot in your fat grease ball ass.
It is a pleasure to meet me.
Oh, I'm pretty feisty, huh? What's this, a rented tuxedo?
Now, you know you're old enough to own your own tuxedo.
And then what's going on here?
Remember when they cut your appendix out 8 years ago in prison?
Yeah.
Gambling had just been outlawed on Earth, so my old boss, Mike Marucci, commissioned Dr. Runa Padankin to create a clone of someone who knew the way around the moon.
For what?
Marucci was starting a gambling operation up here. He needed someone to front for him. Someone intelligent that he could control. A puppet.
Yeah, and being a puppet didn't really jive with my career plan, so I decided to send Mr. Marucci and Dr. Padankin into orbit. And for sentimental reasons, or maybe it's because I'm such a nice guy, I let you live. Until you got in my way.